Amen. Well, let's pray. Amen. Lord, we just thank you for today. And Lord, we do. We're so grateful that you've risen from the dead. You've conquered sin and death. We're so grateful, Father, for what Jesus has done. He's changed the course of human history in freeing us from sin and bringing us into his wonderful life. So we give you all the glory, Father, through Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, it's Easter and he's risen. Amen. We're a bit sparse. There's a big population of people over here, and there's a bit sparse over there because of the long weekend. But I want to talk about basically Easter and about the risen, how Jesus rose from the dead. But I want to put it in the context of the last 3 days that we've celebrated Easter, which started at Good Friday, then Saturday, Jesus was in the tomb, and then Sunday about the resurrection. But there's a great scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You can turn to it if you like. It's a big, long chapter. It goes from verses 1 to 58. There's 58 verses. And it would be great to read it because it's about the resurrection, about what Jesus has done. I'm not going to read it. I'm going to paraphrase just in 3 portions and then I'm just going to get into the talk. So it's just as an introduction. But 1 Corinthians was written about 55 AD, so it was probably written around 20 to 25 years after the death of Jesus. And when it comes to Easter, when it comes to the topic of the resurrection, these are some of the most important foundational verses in the Bible. So 1 Corinthians 15. So Paul highlights, well, I've broken it into 3 points just to summarise it because it's so long. I wanted to read portions of it, because we're limited on time today, because we're finishing early, I've just paraphrased it, but it's good. I'm going to start with verses 3 and 4 and then end with verses 51 to 57, which sort of gives you the bookends of the verse about the resurrection. But the first part is this. Paul talks about Christ's death and his resurrection. And in verse 3 and 4, it says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance." Is it not on the... It's not there. So Paul's talking about here what's the most first importance of what he passed on to us. He said that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Then he goes on to say from verses 3 to 8, he goes on to say that Christ's resurrection is validated by various appearances to witnesses. So we see that Jesus, after he rose from the dead, he appeared to Peter, he appeared to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 of the disciples. Then Paul goes on to say, then he also appeared to me. So remember on the road to Damascus where Paul met the risen Jesus. Then in verses 12 to 22, Paul talks about the significance of Christ's resurrection, what that means for us. So Paul confronts the denial of the resurrection of the dead, emphasizing that if Christ had not been raised from the dead, our preaching and our faith are futile. Why? Because we would still live in the power of sin and death. That this is the magnitude, the enormity of what Christ has done for us at the cross. He's conquered sin and death. Now, we're in a process, and a lot of times we can't fathom the greatness of that, but he has conquered death itself. The greatest fear of every person on the planet is to die. And he's conquered death in this Easter season, and that's what we're celebrating. So Paul confronts the denial of the resurrection of the dead, emphasising that if Christ had not been raised from the dead, our preaching is futile. However, Christ's resurrection brings hope and victory as Jesus is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Lastly, in verses 51 to 57, Paul talks about this future glory that we'll all have in Christ. Paul shares a mystery that believers will not all sleep, but will be changed in an instant in the last trumpet. That'll be a great day. Amen. Death will be conquered and believers will be clothed with imperishable and immortal bodies, celebrating victory given through Jesus Christ. And we see this famous verse. It started with the song, the first song that Johnny sang today, in verses 55 to 57 of 1 Corinthians 15. "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's just a summary of those that chapter, verse 15, which is really important, again, if you want to read about the resurrection of the dead and the importance of what Jesus has done for us. Now, I want to go back to verses 3 and 4 that I read at the start. If we go back to these verses and look at these, there's these three foundational elements of our Christian faith, and they're really, really important to help us understand what Christ has done. We find these verses in the early creeds of the church, and it's this, again, Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, very important. He was buried, and that he was raised to life on the third day according to the scriptures. So today I want to look at these three foundational elements very briefly, how they take place over the 3 days of Easter that we just celebrated. And I want to look at them in the 3 days and, see how they can apply in our lives today and what it means to us, just briefly to us today, the Easter season. So the first day is, what was the first day we celebrate on Easter? Well, Thursday, but Friday. Well, Good Friday. So this is where Jesus died for our sins. Saturday, we find Jesus in the grave buried. And Sunday, the third day, he rises back to life again. So each of these three foundational elements, they teach us something. So let's look at them. So if we start with Friday, with the first element, that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, I want to look at Friday in this light. If we call Friday the day of pain for many reasons, and some of us in traditional churches celebrated Good Friday, and it's really confronting. Death is confronting, and it's supposed to be, because death was not God's intention. And this is a victory that we have over this. This is incredible. So let's call Friday the day of pain. Now, words fail here, and for those of you who went to the services on Good Friday, you'll see this, fail to express what it must have been like for Jesus, our Saviour. And particularly when you've had this personal encounter with him and you think of what he did for us, or for, if we liken it to me personally, it's incredible love, incredible sacrifice. But words fail to express it. What it must have been like for Jesus to have to bear the weight of our sin. Jesus endured unimaginable suffering and injustice. He endured beatings, whippings, the crown of thorns, crucifixion. He endured absolute humility for me and for you. His body carried the weight, and if we listen to the magnitude of what the scriptures tell us, his body carried the weight of our sin as he hung on the cross, struggling for each breath, enduring suffocation and shame. And those, you would know what happened if you read any history of the crucifixion, it's the most horrific type of death that he went through for us. His body carried the weight of our sin as he hung on the cross. Despite the excruciating pain, Jesus willingly, and this is what's incredible, Jesus willingly chose to endure the cross for you and for me. In John 10, 18, Jesus affirms this. He says, no one takes my life. I lay it down willingly. So Jesus willingly laid his life down for you personally. Willingly chose you. In fact, the priest, and many of you would have heard this before, but he would have done it if you were the only person in the world, because that's what infinite love does. It's self-giving. And infinitely, it's greater than any human love that we know. And infinitely, he would gave himself for you in a personal way. He did this, and as we've read from 1 Corinthians 15, he did this to fulfill the scriptures, but he also did this out of his great love for us. In Isaiah 53, of Isaiah, again, it's a really good scripture in the context of the resurrection or what Jesus has done for us at the cross. Encourage us to read it. But Isaiah 53 tells us, gives us this vivid portrayal of Jesus' suffering, describing him as despised. So this is God. This is what we've done to him. We despised him. He was rejected. He was acquainted with grief, and he was pierced for our transgressions and our sins. Now, what this paints is this incredible picture. In all this, it shows us that Jesus intimately understands human pain. And this is what he did, which is extraordinary. When you met it, we're eternally grateful for what he did for me in a personal way. This is what he did for me. If you can liken it, a lot of times we get caught up, you know, he died for the sin of the world. But this is a personal invitation to each of us, what he did. It shows us that Jesus intimately understands human pain, physical, emotional, relational, and spiritual. Not only did Jesus know pain, but as our Saviour, he knows our pain. And he carried it on that cross for us. All our pain he carried there. Incredible love, incredible sacrifice. As our Saviour, he carried the weight of humanity's sin, offering his life, and this is where it comes to the resurrection, he offered his life in exchange that we would have freedom and joy through his sacrifice, something that we're lost, a freedom and joy of his life. And this is what we can miss sometimes because we get caught up in ourselves or we get caught up in other things. But Jesus offers us hope. He offers us salvation. He saves us from ourselves, from our sin. He offers us empathy and healing to all who believe in him. His death on Good Friday signifies the fulfillment of the scriptures that we read in 1 Corinthians 15. And it's a foundational sacrifice for our forgiveness, for our salvation, and for our healing. There's no other name under heaven of which man can be saved except in the name and in the person of Jesus Christ. Nobody else. He offered himself that we could experience his salvation. Now, his salvation is his very life that he poured out on the cross, but the exchange is he gives us himself. If, this is what the scripture tells us, if we believe. So, if you look at the vast number of people celebrating Easter this year, somebody said last week that only 4% of people in their area where they live go to church. So despite what Jesus has done for us at the cross, he's done it whether we believe him or not, but it's been done. And when we sang one of those songs, we sang, "And the angels cry." The angels are crying. Imagine what would have happened on the day of the resurrection. What would have happened in the spiritual realm? It would have been incredible. And we get to join in that now at this day as we worship him because we're caught up in the mystery of his life, death and resurrection. And there's an infusion of his power of his Holy Spirit. That's what comes through the resurrection, which we're going to look at. So his death on Good Friday signifies the fulfillment of the scriptures. Jesus endured the agony of the cross to assure us that we are not alone in our pain-filled Fridays of life. Amen. All of us have pain-filled days and all of us have pain, but that's what he died for. Not only does he die for our pain, but he knows our pain and he takes that pain upon himself. And in some mysterious way, we work that out with him. But Jerry read that scripture. We, in the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, we experience his power in his life. But what we don't want to do is stay in our pain, but we want to give it to him. That's what we want to do, to experience this exchange. Incredible Saviour. Okay, let's look at Saturday. Saturday is following Good Friday, and which for us it was yesterday. It's following Good Friday and it finds Jesus in the grave, fulfilling the scriptures again, as we read in 1 Corinthians 15. So Saturday is, I'm going to call it the day of confusion. So say Saturday, say confusion. Okay, it's really important because these are very personal. We can go in again into the Easter ceremonies and we can sort of miss, we can get caught up in it, however, but we can miss personally how it applies to us. So Saturday is a day of confusion. So much like the disciples experienced Jesus' crucifixion, the disciples, if you put yourself in their shoes, the disciples had hoped for a triumphant Messiah, that he'd come and he'd just set everything straight. Well, he did, but it didn't come for the way they expected it. And that's a lot of times how we see God in our lives. We want it to happen in a particular way, but it doesn't necessarily happen the way we the way God does it, and we can miss him. We can miss what he's trying to do in the moment because we fail to see it. And this is exactly what happened to the disciples. They hoped for this triumphant Messiah. Instead, guess what? They found him in the tomb. This is God. We killed God. And he's in the tomb. And they had this expectation of this triumphant Messiah who would come and restore all things. And that's what Jesus does, doesn't he? That's what we preach about. He comes to restore all things, but now he's dead. And they were confused. What do we do when things don't work out the way we thought they would? What do we do? This is what the scripture's posing to us this on this Saturday. This is exactly what happened to the disciples. They thought that Jesus, as Messiah, as Savior of the world, would make everything new. But now he's dead. He's in the tomb. Things didn't exactly work out the way they thought it would. In that tomb was a picture of our defeat and our death. Wow. Is God real in my circumstances? Can I find him? There's a defeat and a death there. In times of confusion like the disciples, we can feel disheartened. Anyone been there? I am... Many times a day. We can feel disheartened when things don't align with our expectations of how we think things should go. We might have unanswered prayers or face seemingly insurmountable problems, leading us to hopelessness and doubt. It's a day of confusion. Now, Psalm 103 is this really wonderful psalm where King David offers us guidance during such time. Now, I've read a commentary on this psalm, and I believe, I heard someone actually say this, I think. I believe that this psalm was written at the end of David's life. So it has perspective on life. And if that's true, it's quite an amazing psalm when you think of it was written at the end of his life because of all the things that he's seen. So David encourages us in this psalm, he encourages us to praise the Lord even in the midst of confusion and uncertainty, which is something that I want to learn to do. I want to learn to praise God in confusion and difficulties. Has anybody ever tried to do it? We do, don't we? We're encouraged to do it. But it's really difficult because of the conflicting voices in our head, particularly when there's confusion or when there's times of uncertainty, to praise God in the midst of that storm. And even when it's hard, even when it doesn't make sense, even when I don't feel like it, David teaches us that this is the best time. It's the best time to praise the Lord. So look at what David does in this psalm. He speaks to his own soul. And it's a psalm we all know. But he speaks to his own soul, reminding himself of God's goodness and faithfulness, urging us to do the same. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 3, says this, "Praise the Lord." See, here he is. "Praise the Lord, O my soul." So he's telling his soul to praise the Lord. "All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul." And then he's telling himself, "and forget not all his benefits." Isn't it in times of confusion and in times of uncertainty we forget God? We forget what God's done in the past and we can't see a way forward in the future. That's that's exactly what happens to us. And this is why David's reminding himself to praise the Lord. Verse 3, he says, "He forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Remember, again, this is at the end of David's life, so he's got perspective on life, and he's still telling himself the importance of praising God. Praising God in the midst of confusion is powerful. In fact, I think we sang, what's the song we sang last week? The song Praise that we all dance to. But it says, praise is more than words. It's a weapon. And I love the verse. I think it's, praise is the water my enemies drown in. What a verse. Anyway, I won't sing that one because when I sang before, everyone laughed. So I won't sing. But praise is the enemy. So there are things we say, but when we're in the times of confusion and uncertainty, it's really hard to do. And David's reminding himself in those times what he needs to do. Praise the Lord. Forget not all his benefits. So David shows us that it invites God's presence into our situation. And it does more than invites God's presence. It brings an infusion of the power of God and his strength and hope in those situations that we can hold on to God. Now, what I find in those situations, what it does, it silences the other voices that are competing for my life. And I start to hear the voice of God. And this is what David shows us. So David emphasizes the importance of remembering God's past faithfulness. How do we do this? By recalling his deeds in our life. In this, our faith strengthens and we find peace knowing that God is with us. So ultimately, tying this back into Easter, while life may bring its share of Fridays and Saturdays, days of pain, days of trouble, and days of confusion, these are the situations that all of our lives are in. We're in these days sometimes, or we're always confronting these days of confusion, days of trouble, days of pain. But what's encouraging about the Easter story is that the Easter story reminds us that's not the end. Because, as we know, the Easter story, the Fridays and the Saturdays, and if you heard a really good preacher, they'll say, guess what? Sunday's coming. That's what's happened. This is what the Easter story does. But it's giving us a whole walk of our lives, of the pain we have, of the confusion we have. And it ties it into the disciples, what they would have felt, the expectations that weren't met. But then it gives us this story of Sunday. So let's look at Sunday. Sunday is Resurrection Day. So this means that we don't have to stay in the place of pain, or we don't have to stay in the place of confusion. Jesus rises from the dead and he brings hope and victory. This means that we too can anticipate new life and be transformed. This is the important thing. We can be transformed by his power in the midst of our confusion and our pain. That's what it's saying. It's a message of hope to us. It's not just a spoken message. It's an infusement of the power of God into our hearts, where we can still be in confusion or we can still be in pain, but we can walk in resurrection power. And it's drawing us to take our focus from these things and focus it on the risen Jesus. That's why we praise him, David tells us. We're remembering his benefits, whether I feel that or not. I'm remembering his benefits, and in remembering his benefits, I'm infused with his power and his strength. And Easter, the message is hope for us, because we share in the resurrection of Christ, who's God, and he loves us, and he wants to give us his life. Whoa. Did I get an amen? Amen. Seriously, this is what it is. It's great hope in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our confusion. So Jesus rises from the dead. He brings hope. The stone, as we say, is rolled away. The tomb's empty. We've sang about it. The tomb's empty. Death has been defeated. Death has been defeated. What's that scripture that I read? The wages, I didn't read that from Romans, but the wages of sin is death. Sin has been overcome in Christ. If Christ truly lives in me because of the resurrection, he gives me power over sin and death. What a message of hope for us, even in the midst of this fallen world we live in. So the stone's been rolled away, the tomb's empty. So remember, our first scripture, or from 1 Corinthians, verse 15, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scripture. Sunday, today, is where things begin to change. There's hope. There's new life. There's a new beginning. We might think, as I'm preaching, that that sounds good for some people, but I'm still in the Fridays or the Saturdays. I'm still in the days of pain or the days of confusion. But the Easter message is this: Sunday's here today. It's here today. And his resurrection power is available to us today. What did Jesus say? If we believe. We can only get resurrection power in one place. Better yet, one person. And that's Jesus. And this is where we have to turn. It comes through one person. There's no other name under heaven of which man can be saved. It's Jesus. All of creation was created by Jesus and for Jesus. Everything finds its fulfillment in Jesus. Every person, all of creation finds its summation in the person of Jesus Christ. Guess what? He entered our death so that we can now enter his life. He wants to bring us into the fullness of his life so that we can bring his glory in all of creation. That's how he's created us. But again, it comes to if you believe. And we find this incredible scripture in the book of John. So not only does Jesus offer resurrection life, he is the resurrection and the life. And in John 11, 25 to 26, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Now, this scripture here, this last part of the verse, I've read it, but it's really impacted me. So I'm going to read it from verse 26 again. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then Jesus says this, do you believe this? He's challenging what we believe. Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Wow. Amen? Do you believe this? Now, I believe that God wants us to believe that Jesus is our resurrection and the life, because this is the hope of Easter. The same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead is now living in us. This resurrected Jesus now lives in his church. He now lives in the believer. We're temples of his Holy Spirit. He now lives in us. And remember David, he said, forget not all his benefits. We have to remind ourselves who lives in us. God lives in us. God who raises from the dead, God who has victory over sin lives in us. He lives in us. This is what we need to remind ourselves, as David has taught us. So the resurrection redefines then, in that light, how we see everything. Think about the tomb, the grave, always a picture of death, loss and defeat. But now in the light of the resurrection, the empty tomb represents life. In the light of the resurrection, we can look at the tomb and be reminded that just like Jesus, we're going to shed mortality. And we're going to put on immortality, that we're going to get new bodies, glorified bodies like Christ's body. Our new bodies are going to be impervious to sin, sickness, disease, death, and sadness. That's what he's won for us. This is a message of hope for us, because we're caught in our pain, we're caught in our confusion. We all are. I am. But Easter, this message of hope, I'm going to receive a glorified body that's impervious to sickness, death, sin. And guess what? It's Sunday. It starts today. It starts now. Jesus said, if you believe in me. See, there's always an if in a relationship. I said to Jerry, will you marry me? And there was an if because she had to say, well, no. She might have said no, but she said yes. Jesus wants us to say yes to the resurrection today because he wants to give us resurrection life and power to overcome sin and death. Ultimately, when we die, we'll be raised up. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians 15. Our bodies are going to be impervious, unaffected by sickness, disease, sin, and death, and sadness. Amen? Do you ever get sad? I get sad. I get sad all the time. But this is the hope of the resurrection. We're going to be changed in the blinking of an eye. We're going to be transformed in an instant. As you read earlier in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, death has been swallowed up in victory. So the tomb that meant defeat in the light of the resurrection means for us transformation. So our pain, our confusion is an opportunity to meet the Saviour. That's what it's saying for us. It's an opportunity to meet Jesus today in a fresh way because he died as Saviour. And he wants to meet us. What that means for us is that even on our worst days, in the Fridays of life and the Saturdays of life, in the most desperate moments, God can actually redeem. This is the hope of Easter. Even in our desperate days, Jesus comes as Saviour to redeem those days. He comes to redeem it in his person. It's interesting because I was just reading the book of Job, and Job, you know, goes, you know, Job's suffering and he's asking God, you know, why? God doesn't answer with a why, but God answers with himself. And he comes to Job and he speaks to him, and Job then repents and he says, I only heard about you before, but now my eyes see you. He meets God and his suffering has meaning. Now, how did he meet God? He's seen his face. We see the face of Jesus at Easter. And his face is suffering for us. And his answer to us is his very person and his presence. All our questions are met in him in an encounter with Jesus. That's what the resurrection is talking about. It doesn't mean we don't have pain. It doesn't mean we don't have confusion. It doesn't mean we don't have these things. Of course we have these things. But we can meet the person of Jesus in that place. Like Job did. That's what happened. And the resurrection shows us the very same thing where we can meet Jesus and we can see him in his broken body on the tree. That he carried all my pain, past, present, and future. He carried it there and I can meet him and he can bring meaning in my life in his person. So what that means for us is on our worst days, God can actually redeem and restore. He can recreate our lives because of his resurrection power, because he rose from the dead. If he didn't rise from the dead, as Paul said, our preaching is futile. It's useless because there's no power. But he rose from the dead and he wants us to experience that life. And then we can echo the words of King David in Psalm 103 in the following verses. He says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So he's reminded his soul. And then he says, what's he do? What's God do? He forgives all our sins. He heals all our diseases. He redeems our life from the pit. And he crowns us, so here's the exchange, he crowns us with love and compassion or loving kindness. This is what he does. And he satisfies, this is what Jesus is exchange. He satisfies our desires with good things. Now, most of us think Jesus wants to take every good thing from us. But when we meet him, he satisfies every desire, every need, everything we long for. We find it in him, the person of Jesus. Even if the confusion and the pain doesn't go at this point, because we meet him and we can praise him in the midst of those things because of his greatness and his love. Because he carried it for me on the cross. And the exchange is his faith. I get him out of it. And I can rejoice. I can start to rejoice in these things because of what he's done. Now, just finishing is this. Christianity is not about, and Easter definitely is not about making bad people good. Christianity is about making dead people come back to life. That's what it's about. It's not about making bad people good. It's about making the dead be resurrected. And how many of you or me need resurrection? How many of us need life in a particular area of our life? All of us. And that's what the resurrection's about. It's not about making good, bad people good. It's about raising you and me from the dead by his Holy Spirit. And then ushering in his life, fulfilling what he's called us to do. All of creation, remember, was created by him, for him, to find fulfillment in him and to reveal that to the world, to reveal his goodness and his love. You know what? Just as I come to close, is this, you know what I've, you know, sin, what sin does is in its, it does a lot of things. It brings death, these things. But sin, what it does ultimately in one point, it, because it distorts the way we see reality, it distorts how we see ourselves, it distorts how we see the world, it distorts how we see God. What sin does brings a counterfeit father. And what that does is a lot of us, including myself, because we've been affected by sin, we really don't believe God is good and that he loves me because of pain, suffering, and death in the world. And they're legitimate things. But the resurrection, remember what he said to Job? It was his presence. It was him, his very self. And this is what the resurrection does. It reveals Jesus. Resurrection can't be found in any other person but Jesus, the person of Jesus, when we bring him all our suffering, all our pain. Okay, so how do we receive this? There's one simple key, and this is what I want to close with, this simple key to receiving this resurrection power. Now, in saying this, I believe, remember Jesus said, do you believe this? That's what I feel like the Holy Spirit's saying to us today. Do you really believe this? Now, most of us here have been Christians for a long time, and it's so easy to become complacent to what Jesus said. He's saying, I'm the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? Because if we believe it, there's an action that we do. It unlocks his power, and that's what he wants to do. He wants you to reveal his glory. He wants to fill you with his glory. We mightn't be worthy, but let's look at what happened at Easter. He's made us worthy. Grace, we sang it in the song, grace upon grace has been poured out upon us. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God wants to fill you continually with his presence? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Then there's a response. Do you believe this, Jesus says? What are you going to do about it? It's a challenge. The scriptures are a challenge. It's about, are we willing to accept what he's offered? Now, I know in my pain, in my confusion, like King David, I forget his benefits. And I over-concentrate on those things and I fail to miss him. Because he meets me there and I can fail to miss it. And this is the key. So the Easter is this, by dying, this is what Jesus did. So it's surrendering our hearts with Jesus in the term of our pain. So we're bringing to him our pain. We're bringing to him our confusion. And we're giving them to him because he died as Savior to take it. Yeah? He died to take it. But if we withhold it, we can't receive the exchange of what he wants to give. Simple, eh? He's really simple, but we complicate it. And sin complicates it because we have a wrong image of what he's like. So we die with Jesus in the tomb of our pain and our confusion. We give them to him. And by doing this, we allow ourselves to be raised with Jesus in the power of his resurrection, in the exchange as a release of power. All God is asking us to do, and this is difficult in some ways because we're all on a journey, but all he's asking us to do is to put Jesus first as first priority in your life. Simple. And that's been in the last two talks I've heard that. Joe talked about it. Mike talked about it. The Lordship of Jesus Christ. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. He puts Jesus center in your life, where your life now evolves around Jesus. Every major decision evolves around Jesus. Why? Because he created you. You find fulfillment in him. As you put him in your pain, in your confusion, you center your life around him, what it does, it releases the Holy Spirit to move. And what do you experience? Resurrection power. This is where it's the power of God now. This is where it changes from a theology to an experience where you encounter his power. But what he asks us to do you believe this, he says? What he asks us to do, are you willing to put him first? Now, I do this. I did this a number of years ago. I do it all the time. Jesus, are you first priority in my life? If it's not, I repent and I put him in first place, particularly in my pain, in my confusion, these things. Essentially, it's about allowing Jesus to take the central place in our hearts and our life, allowing his word, his values to shape our thoughts, actions, and our priority. Is God's word shaping your thoughts, your actions, and your priorities? If it's not, he's not center. And that unlocks the power of God. Why I'm saying this is because this unlocks the power of the Holy Spirit to move. If Jesus' word isn't shaping our thoughts, our actions, and our priorities, we're not moving in resurrection power as much as he wants us to be. So by prioritizing Jesus and allowing his life to shape our lives, we open our hearts to his resurrection power.